around us. And God's saying, do not tell my people, do not despise the quiet time. That's when God can speak to us if we will listen. Even in the quiet time, our brain is trying to take over. It's trying to get us thinking on things. God wants to show us how to kick the brain out of gear and let Him take it. I was thinking about this. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? We always want to know what everybody's name is. We got to have a name on everything. We all, you know, and God, he's going to say something here. What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Did you get that? I am that I am. God made himself very personal to Moses and the children of Israel. And that's what he's getting ready to speak more loudly in the United States of America than he's ever spoke. I am that I am. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. Well, I'm going to bring it down more personal. Thus shalt thou say to the children of the Exciting Living Word Fellowship. Listen and hear what the Lord is saying here to us. Well, that's Old Testament. God hasn't changed. We need to understand that. Churches, ministries, everything has tried to change God. And God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday in the Old Testament. God is the same today in the New Testament. And He's the same when we get to heaven. He hasn't changed. Okay? Moreover unto Moses, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and I want to add here, not taken away from the Scripture, and the God of Abraham, okay? I want to make it down personal, the God of Abraham. All right, he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Look at your neighbor and say forever. Forever. Hasn't changed it. And this is my memorial unto all generations. People, we're going to have to go back to the uncompromised Word of God and quit listening to just anything that comes along. I'm telling you. I know what I cut my teeth on. I know the ministries that I grew up under. And I know what they taught. I know what they stood for. And I know what they have given forth. There's a lot of stuff that's coming forth today that sounds good. It looks good, but it's not of God. It's got this frilly stuff about it. It's got this theatrical stuff about it. Oh, we got to have a church that's got the strobe lights and the smoke coming and everything like that. Well, you know, I looked at one here a while back and I said, all they're doing is preparing them for hell because that's where smoke is. There's no smoke in heaven. It's just preparing them for hell. Why do we have to have all of this stuff? Why can't we just depend on the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the Father God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit ministering to us? Why can't we just accept what God wants to give to us and quit trying to expand it into something that it's not supposed to be? We're going to have to make up our mind in this nation. For this nation to come back to the place that God has for it, God's not finished with this nation yet. He's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with us yet. God is not finished. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He was talking about the sacrifices. He is talking about the sacrifices. He wasn't talking about anything else. We still are to walk in love. We're still to give. We're still to be obedient. We're still to respond. God is looking for a people that will be what God wants them to be, not what these people out here want us to be when we come to them. If they don't receive us, turn around, walk out of there, shake the dust off your feet, and go down the street to someplace else. I'm a patient man, but I don't have much patience with people that want to mock and make fun of what we're doing today. We've got a bunch out here that's running around trying to tell us, and every once in a while they'll slip and say, here's what you need to know. We're going to tell you what you need to know. Well, I don't need to know what you're going to tell me. I need to know what God's telling me. I need to know what God wants me to do. And I'm not going to do this. One commercial on television is, don't tell me what I need to do. Don't tell me what I need to understand. Just tell me the things that you think I need to know. Just report it accurately. And then let me decide. And so he says there, but notice this, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now we're several generations from the cross, the birth of Jesus. We're several generations from that. But it hasn't changed. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were still living under the old covenant. When Jesus said, it is finished, and the veil at the temple there was rent from top to bottom, and that veil was about 30 to 35 feet high, and they tell me that it was 3 to 5 feet thick. One man could not open that veil. Now think about that. And it was rent from the top to the bottom, giving us access to the throne of God, giving us access to the Father of all creation, giving us access to the God of all knowledge, all wisdom, and God of all understanding. And we have access to that. And there's times that we need to listen to the Holy Spirit instead of listening to what people say. We need to, when the Holy Spirit says, shut this thing down. Shut this thing down. Shut this stuff up right now. Put a halt on this. I didn't call you to think this way. He's told us what we're to think on the in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. He's told us what we're to think on. If you listen to the news, you think, my God, we're in such terrible shape. And I once while I sit there and look at it, the prophets have spoken. You're lying. You're lying. You're lying. You're telling the people a lie. You want the people to believe a lie. You believe a lie, and the Word of God says you believe a lie and you'll be damned. Well, I'm not believing a lie and I'm not being damned. I'm believing the truth and I'm being set free. We are victorious through the Word of God. And in Isaiah 1:19, he says there, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Well, I don't mind telling you this. I don't like them trying to put bugs in my food, grind it up in my food. I don't like that. I don't even like, if a bug flies into my mouth, you know what I do? I'm about eating some bug. Someone asks you, what if you go to Africa where they eat those looks like grub worms and stuff? I'm on a fast that day. I don't eat those things. Now, if you got a pork chop, I might eat that. If you got some fish, I might eat that. But I'm not putting one of those fat bugs in my mouth. It might be what we call around here a cutworm, and I put that in my mouth. It might cut my tongue off. No, they'll cut down a plant, though. They'll destroy a plant. But if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, here's another thing. If you receive food with thanksgiving and give God thanks for it, it's good. Now, there are certain kinds of food. It's not my favorite kind of food. I used to be a steak guy. I haven't ate a steak in I don't know how long, but I still like to eat what would be called kind of like a hamburger. But as far as a T-bone, a ribeye, or anything, I haven't ate one of those in a long time. You know why? You have to take a sharp knife and cut them up. And I think, I asked one time, I said, can I make a request on the steak that I'm eating? They said, well, yeah, what is it? How you want it cooked? And I said, I want it cooked all the way through. But I'd like for the backer also to cook, slice it up in little bites so that I can eat it and I don't have to put out the effort. And they looked at me kind of funny. And I said, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But I found this interesting. The word obedient there, if you be willing and obedient, the word obedient from the Hebrew means to hear, now get ready, to hear intelligently. We're not dummies. We're not a bunch of people that don't know anything. When we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we had to know something. We got some knowledge there. And we have access to the greatest knowledge in the world. The greatest knowledge in the universe. We have it. And the Better Bible English translation says, if you will give ear to my word and do it, okay, the good things of the land will be yours. Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. Here a while back, I was eating at a restaurant and they had a buffet, and I had been desiring some of the green onions. You know, every once in a while I like that. When I'm not going to be around people, I'm not going to be hugging on people or kissing on people, I kind of like it. I don't want them to say, ooh. But I thought, they've got some up there on that buffet. And I went up there and I got a couple of them. Oh, was I sorry. I thought, when were these picked? Kind of, I thought maybe they put them in a vase of water, kind of like you do flowers, you know. You pick the flowers, you put them in a vase of water. And I thought, when were these picked? And I'm thinking, oh, they've lost their glory. They have no glory to them. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go back up there and put that one left back up there. And I don't want to spit this one out on my plate. You know, people right next to me say, ah, I don't want to be the object of puke. Okay? But verse 20, listen to this. People, this is where we're going to have to come down to in this nation. If you be willing and obedient, verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But listen to verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The sword is the word of God. That word that saves us, brings us into that relationship with Christ, into the relationship with the throne of God, is the sword of God. It's sword. It's a sword. It cuts. Cuts both ways. You'll be devoured with a sword. This word that is meant to bless us, this word that is meant to strengthen us, this word that it was meant to enlighten us, will be the very same thing that will judge us. Get a hold of that. It will be the very same thing that will judge us when we stand before the throne of God. We have to understand something. This is getting more serious every day. Jesus is getting closer to returning every day. And if we don't take it more serious and take it kind of flippantly, well, we've heard that all of my life. And a man asked me here some time back, he said, how long have you been hearing that? I said, ever since I could understand English. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. But remember, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day. So we think about this. We begin to realize, hey, has nothing to do with my time. Has to do with His time. It's His time that matters. So the New Living Translation in verse 19 and 20, if you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be eating this. We're supposed to be devouring this. Okay? But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken it. The very same people out there that's mocking us will rejoice when we come become like they are and let them tell us what we need to do. Oh, you don't need to go. I remember when I first got saved. I played a lot of ball, 2 or 3 games a week, softball. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me after I got saved. He said, you need to stop. And I'm thinking, stop what? Man, I love playing ball. That was my background. I was in athletics in school and everything. That was my background. You need to cut back on this playing. So I did. I cut back to 1 game a week. And you know, I was just as happy with 1 game a week as I was with 3. Why? Because I was obedient to him. But then all of a sudden, after a while, he said, I want you to stop. Stop what? I wanted to be very, very precise about it. Stop what? I want you to stop playing ball. Because every game that we played that I came down to was played on Wednesday night. Well, you know, used to, just about every church in the country had church on Wednesday night. Now a lot of them don't have church on Wednesday night. A lot of them don't even have church on Sunday night. But I had to struggle with that. I had to struggle with that. And Barb asked me one day, she said, honey, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I need to ask you something. Do you think God would tell me that I need to quit playing ball? And she looked at me like, okay, how do I answer this question? Give me that funny look. And she said, yes, I do. That wasn't the answer I was wanting from her. That wasn't what I wanted to hear. Yes, I believe he's telling you that. So I went to my pastor. Now, that wasn't the smartest thing to do. Go to your pastor and ask him if you think, Pastor, do you think God's telling me to quit playing ball on Wednesday night so I can be in church? And he looked at me like, duh, duh. And I just turned around and walked away from him. I thought, you're not giving me the answer I want. Remember, people, most of the time we're wanting God to give us the answer we want so that we'll feel good. Well, I know I'm in God's will. But finally, it just got to dealing with me. I've never been a heavy sleeper, but it got to the point that I couldn't sleep for two or three nights, and I called him, hey, I can't play ball anymore. And Bill, my brother, had the team there. And no, that's before we moved back from Oklahoma. And Anderson had the team. And I said, guys, I'm gonna have to drop out of the ball program. We played to Joplin, Miami, all over the country here and everything. And they said, what? I said, yeah. Well, you're one of our pitchers. And I said, yeah. Well, you're one of our shortstops. And I said, yeah. But I have to quit. Well, when I did that, then people begin to, you got saved. Now you probably do everything according to the numbers. And I looked at one of them and I said, you want to explain that to me? You want to explain that to me? Because I wasn't saved enough that I didn't still have flesh to deal with. I said, you want to explain that little comment to me? And he said, well, you need to understand. No, you tell me what you're meaning right now. And now by that time, I had him by the shirt collar and I had him up against the wall. And I'm thinking, you ought to not do this. And I think I've gone too far. I'll repent for it later. Am I the only one that's ever done something like that? I'll repent for it later. And finally, I just kind of loosened a grip on it. And he began to talk to me. And I said, you're including my wife in this. And I said, you ought to be thankful that I don't just bounce you through that wall. Because we're not going to have this kind of stuff. We've been friends for a long time, and I'd like for us to stay friends. But if you're my friend, you'll respect. I respect you and what you do, and you'll respect me and what I do. And he just looked at me, and he said, I need to apologize to you. And I said, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And he said, I'm sorry. And I said, I accept your apology. We was friends for years till he moved away. And I thought about that. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. See, we need to realize something. They've got swords also. Our enemies has got swords. The sinners have got swords. They can cut you through with their words. They can cut you to pieces with their words. And we need to understand something here. Our God is greater. Our God is more powerful. Our God is bigger. Our God is more able. Our God is the one that created everything, and our God is the one that has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, so I can live the life that God wants me to live if I'm willing to just submit to it. And I know a lot of people have said, I just give you my life, and then all of a sudden they begin to take bits of it back. And then next thing you know, they've just taken so much back that God doesn't have anything to do with them. Now, I'm not going to go all the way through this, but I want to ask you something. We're talking about willing and obedient. Luke 1 all the way down. Look at Luke 1, 7, talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now stricken in years. And so I've looked at this, and I don't know if I would be considered stricken in years or not, but I'm more mature. But I found out something. Don't let your maturity, your age, disqualify you from something that God wants you to do. There's too many people said, you know, well, at your age, I said, that's one. Well, what do you mean? I said, you say at your age twice, I may slap you. Because my age has nothing to do with what God wants me to do. Now, come on down here and look at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now, I've never heard anybody talk about this. I've never had anybody talk about this. But Zacharias was wanting a child. Zacharias and Elizabeth was wanting a child. And they were there. He was stricken in age, but yet they were wanting a child. And the angel Gabriel tell him, says, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. So we're not too old to pray. Look at your neighbor, say, he's talking about us. We're not too old to pray. And we're not too old to do what God wants us to do. Now, it's not very likely in today's society that an 80-year-old man or woman will give birth to a child, you know, but I have seen some deals where 67, 68, and 69-year-old women have given birth to a child. And Barb said, don't look at me. You haven't reached 69 or 70. No, but you said, that's enough. Yeah, that's enough. But think about this. How many times, and don't raise your hand on this, how many times have we as individuals let maybe our age or our job or our lifestyle stop us from being obedient to God? Think about it. In April, it'd be 42 years since I moved back to Anderson, Barb and I. 42 years, first weekend of April. 42 years. I had a fabulous job. I was growing in the corporation. Had a fabulous job that's getting ready to put a warehouse in Tulsa, Oklahoma down there. And they said, you'll be over that. I had a fabulous job. Man, I'm telling you what, I was blessed going in, and I was blessed coming out. I was blessed in the city. I was blessed in the field. I was blessed on the interstate. I was blessed on country roads. Didn't make any difference. And God began to minister. It got to the point that I was afraid. I'd just get off the interstate, I-44, before I got to Vineta, Oklahoma, because it seemed like at Vineta, the Spirit of the Lord would come into the car and begin to minister to me. And so I thought, I'm going to get off. Well, this day I didn't get off. I missed the turn off and everything, and coming through there, and I'm thinking all of a sudden, and the Spirit of the Lord began to come into the car and minister to me, and I said, I missed it again. Oh, my God, I missed it again. And I think, what am I going to do? And the Spirit of the Lord's ministering to me, and I'm just weeping like a baby driving down the interstate, and people's passing me, and they're looking at me like that, and I'm saying, you know. And finally, I got off at Claremore and shot across to Ooligah. You know, Ooligah, that sounds kind of like, you know, first time I heard the name Ooligah, I said, my God, that sounds like a sick place. You know what Ooligah means? Dark cloud. Dark cloud. Well, one day the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to go out and surround us, drive around the city, go to the gates of the city, and I want you to pray over the city. It was in Tornado Alley. In Tornado Alley. And God said, I sent you here for a reason. I brought you here for a reason. And I'll show you. So I went around and drove. Drove around the city, went to the gates of the city coming in from the east to west, north and south. went to the gates of the city, and I prayed over them. About 3 weeks later, we was up here, come back to check on some things, and a friend of ours, Frank Adams, Frank and Elsie Adams, evangelists of God, called me and he said, where are you at? He knew he had our number there. We didn't have cell phone back then. That was before cell phones, you know. And he called my mother-in-law and father-in-law's phone and said, where are you at? And I said, I'm in Anderson. He said, can you get any television channels up there? And I said, well, yeah. I told him what God had spoke to us to do. He said, can you get Channel 6 out of Tulsa, KT, for whatever that number is down there? And I said, well, I think so. So we went in there. And it just so happened that we could pick it up on there. He said, what's the weather tonight? And I said, okay. And so I was sitting in there, and here come the weather on. And this weather forecaster said, oh, we got something we got to show you. This is the strangest thing that's ever happened. We've never had this happen. He said, today we had tornado warnings out all over the place. And usually, like I said, we were in Tornado Alley. They'd come up through Oklahoma City, up there through Tulsa, and just like this, driving the interstate part of the time. And he said, this is strange. We had our meteorologist people out tracking this tornado. And he said, it was coming there. And he said, it came to the city limits of Ulaga, Oklahoma, and it raised up over there, ran off the ground, went across the city and sat down on the other side of the city limits and wreaked havoc over there. And he said, that's why God had you go to the gates of the city. And that's what I pray over the city of Anderson. I'm getting ready to go to Noel and pray it over the city of Noel. And he said, that's why God had you to do that, so there would be no destruction come to Ulaga, Oklahoma. And the people could not believe it. They could not believe it. And when we went back, Frank called me and he said, we need to have lunch or something. We need to talk about this. And so we did. Went back. When we got down there, and I met with him, and he said, I want to tell you, he said, you know, God has given you some keys here that you need to learn to use them more boldly. And I said, okay, then teach me. Teach me how to do this. Never get too knowledgeable you can't be taught. Never get too knowledgeable you can't be taught. And so what happens? You know, thy prayer, what he said to Zacharias, he said, thy prayer has been heard. God heard my prayer when we lived in Ulaga, Oklahoma. When we moved back from Ulaga, Oklahoma, we was there between 6 and 7 years. When we moved back from Ulaga, Oklahoma, I told some people, I said, take your authority, because if you don't take your authority, you're going to be in trouble. The first year that we was back here, a tornado hit Ulaga, Oklahoma, because they didn't do it. And it tore the school up, just almost leveled everything. Tore it up. No one was killed, but it tore the school all to pieces. Ulaga had one of the top schools in the state, number one school in the state. And I called somebody down there and I said, what happened down there? Oh my God, said, you know, you wouldn't believe it. It just tore the school and part of the town all to pieces. And I said, what did I tell you all to do? Take your authority. You didn't take your authority. You did not take your authority. And it got real quiet. I said, are you there? He said, yeah. He said, I'm repenting. We didn't take our authority. And I said, people, you've got to understand, if Satan will take advantage, he didn't move us back here. Satan didn't move us back here, but he took advantage of us leaving there and coming up here. Not that we're so powerful. It was the word of God. It was the obedience to God's word. So if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so this year, you get an understanding here. This year, this congregation is coming up. Why? Now listen to me. Because it is commanded of God for us to do this. The anointing of the Lord is upon this work of God. I don't know about other works. That's none of my business. I'm not saying that we're the only one. I'm just telling you, the anointing of the Lord is upon this work when it comes to the authority of God's Word. Now, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? If we can't let everybody else be dependent on, we're going to have to step up to the plate and start taking some of our positions also. And God's going to add to this church. God's going to add to this church. So fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. So I look at it like this. Fear not, Pastor Martin, for thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard. I am has sent you. You're sent to this church because of I am. I'm sent to this church because of I am as pastor. And God is sending others to this church because of I am. I am, he took it personal. He gave himself a personal name there in the Hebrew, I am. He came down to a personal relationship. Moses, I am is sending you. Take it personal. Take your relationship with God personal. Take your relationship with this church personal. Take the relationship with our Jerusalem personal. Take it personal. Don't put it on somebody else. Don't put it on somebody else. Lord, what can I do? What would you have me to do? I am that I am. What would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to say? How would you have me to respond to this situation? How? When? Where? Why? That's what they teach us in English. How? Who? What? When? Where? And why? All them W's is mixed up with a H. But how do we do it? This way. This is the keys of the kingdom. This is so full of keys, it'll lock or unlock anything and everything. It'll lock the door. And the Lord's been speaking to me about door. The door. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's not to scare anybody. This isn't to scare anybody. This is to let us in on something. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Now, we need to understand something. Paul was a great man of God. Paul became great because he was obedient. Paul suffered. We will suffer for the glory of God. But we can't get our eyes on the suffering. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. But he said there, let's go back to here. Let's go back to verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Now, he's giving them a reason here in verse 9. Why is all of this happening? He says, for a great door and effectual door. It didn't have effectual door in there, but a great door and an effectual, a door that has effects, okay, is opened unto me. And there, boy, that sounds really good right there, that first part. Woo, glory to God, we got doors open for us. Read the rest of it. And there are many adversaries. Well, who is greater, the adversaries or our God? Who is more powerful, the adversaries or our God? See, that's a question we're going to have to answer. If we don't answer it, we're standing in limbo. If we don't answer it, we don't know where we're at. My God will bring me through this door, and my God will see that the adversary is stopped. The adversary is stopped. So we're going to have adversaries, but there has been a door open to this church. There's been a door open to this ministry of this church, of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. There's a door open to this church. What will we do with this door? Now let me ask you something. If you're willing to say, I'm here for the duration and I'm going through the door, I want you to stand to your feet. I don't want you to stand because other people are standing. I need to know, as pastor, I need to know where we as a congregation stand. I need to know where we stand. Now look around. Look around. Turn around and look at everybody that's standing. And remember, we're to pray for one another. We're to be a strength to one another when they seem to be weak. When they seem to be knocked down, we need to be ones that lifts them up. So what happens? We need to reach out our hand to them. We need to reach out our hand to them and say, Father, this is my sister. This is your daughter. We are family. We will stand together. We will stand strong. And when you need me, I'm here. And when I need you, you will be there. And you'll bring him along as he gains knowledge. Hallelujah. And we need to know and to understand this. We need to understand this. People, listen to me. This is not the time to turn tail and run. This is not the time to tuck your tail between your legs and start shivering and shaking. This is the time that we need to be standing strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This is the time we need to determine who we are, who we're going to be, and how we're going to be that. How are we going to stand? How are we going to stand? Come here, man. This is one of the ministers here. Come here, Jack. Come here, Lisa. Come here, Lisa. Come here, Lisa. Come here, Karen. Now, we're all ministers. We're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. These are the ones that ministers more and more, and you better get ready. You're going to get ready. Now, before I go any further and get myself into a place to where I have to back up, when is our... we're at the end of the month, am I right? Of January? When is our fellowship luncheon in February? When is it?
Second Sunday.
Give me a date on that. Second Sunday. 11th? 11th. Okay. Now, the Sunday after that, you will have the Sunday morning service, okay? That would be the 18th. You will have the Sunday night service, okay? Okay. The next Sunday after that, okay, 11th, 18th, 25th, you will have the morning service. You will have the evening service. I'll take the Wednesday night service. I'm not retiring, but the thought has crossed my mind, seriously. Should I step down? I'm serious. I'm being honest with you. Should I step down? I'll do what God wants me to do. I'll do what God wants me to do. But I'm not a coward. I'm a fighter. And let me tell you something. I've fought some battles in the last week or so, and I am victorious. I am victorious. And you know what that makes you? That makes you victorious, because we're body. We're all one in Christ. And we're gonna beat this thing. We're going to beat the devil to where he's so afraid. It's time for us to turn the table on the devil and make him afraid of us.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm tired of it. It's not going to happen here. We're going to be the healthiest, wealthiest, strongest, most powerful congregation in the country right here. And I'm telling you, money is coming in, finances are coming in, blessings are coming in, whether it be by mail, whether it be by somebody walking up and putting it in her hands, whether it be by, what's some people?
Direct deposit,
or whether it be UPS, FedEx, or that other yellow van pump, DHL. We're going to get it. Because why? Because we're changing the words of our mouth. And it's coming to us. The wealth of the sinner is coming to the just, and we are the just. I've heard so many people, I know what the Word of God says, then why don't you believe it? The wealth of the sinner is coming to the just. If there's no more just in this city, then we are just, and it's coming to this church. And it will be used for the ministry, not for payrolls or anything else. We are the just. We are the just. See, don't you let up on your expectancy. Whether it be spirit, whether it be soul, whether it be body, whether it be social, or whether it be financial. Don't you let up. Because there's about to be a door open there that's going to start a flow. You just stay strong. And if there's anything I can do, you know I'll help you. Because you're going to win. Because, honey, you are a winner. Don't care what Satan tries to come against you with. You're a winner. You're a winner. You're victorious. You all are victorious. Raise your hands over there. Both of you. Both hands. You are victorious. You are prosperous. You are victorious. You are prosperous. Raise your hands here, right here. You are victorious. Oh, both of them. Both of them. Get them both up there. You can't receive the abundance in just one hand. It's going to take both of them. That double meat whopper, whatever that is, not the double meat, but the double, that big bun, that big one is going to come. You are victorious. You are victorious right here. You are victorious. Up there in the... You are victorious. You only got one hand up. You are victorious. You are victorious. We are victorious. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about us. We are victorious. And I'm telling you, things are changing. And I'm not saying anything's wrong. That's not it. We always go to the negative. No, things are changing in this church, in this congregation, in our lives. And I don't mind telling you, whoa, I am ready. I am ready. My body, I told it yesterday, I said, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, pain out. Yes. You can't do that. Amen. You can't do that. I am the healed of the Lord. Amen. You are the victorious. You are the prosperous of the Lord. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's time. And you'll see it in Noel, Missouri. Yes. I'm telling you, I am praying. And I don't know what, but something is coming to pass in Noel, Missouri. This is hard on us more mature fellas. This is hard on us more mature fellas. And I'm telling you, you're about to see, oh, my darling daughter, you're about to see prosperity like you've never seen before. You and your household and the two of you and your family is becoming very prosperous in health, in finances, and in all the blessings of God. And you, daughter, you're about to see it also. You're about to see it also. And it's going to be glorious. And you, sir, I'm with you all the way. I'm with you all the way. I'm with that city all the way. Our God has placed me in that city to stand strong. And we're going to do it. And I'm telling you, people, we are victorious. We are victorious. I know that thing opens up. There it is. And there'll be no throwing stones in this congregation. You understand it? There'll be no throwing stones, whether it's that size or that size. There'll be none. Because you know what? We throw stones at one another. God will enable us to catch it and throw it back with more power. So we're not going to throw stones. Thank you for getting these stones out there. I knew there's a reason for them. And if anybody falls asleep in here, remember I got stones. I love y'all. I love y'all. You can be seated there. I love y'all. I'm telling you, I am the pastor of the best, strongest, most powerful congregation in the country. Right here is where the power is. Right here is where the power is. I'm going to that seat right there. I'm going to that chair right there. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Thank you.